first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're all over the place, the ESPN app. I'm Jason Fitz. Get you started with a couple of headlines you need to know. The NBA is waiting until May to formally reassess the shutdown due to coronavirus. But Adam Silver is encouraging all of the league's employees to present ideas and concepts for a potential return to play. So that has various executives and team medical personnel discussing protocols to get players ready for games. There's a concern that whenever the games come, we can't just immediately get guys in shape and ready to play. One of the ideas proposed is a 25-day program for players to go through before they resume gameplay. So under that plan, players would go through an 11-day stretch of individual workouts, maintaining social distancing while they ramp that up. So we'll see what that means for the NBA, as they have to be concerned with not only when they come back, but also making sure that nobody gets hurt when that happens. Speaking of NBA news, we have news out of Chicago. The Chicago Bulls fired general manager Gar Forman on Monday after 10 years in the role, 22 years with the team overall. This is not surprising. Remember, the team has confirmed the hiring of Denver Nuggets GM Arturas Karnatsovas as the franchise executive vice president of basketball operations. That was what ESPN had reported was happening last week. So we now know at this point that there's going to be massive change. They did announce Monday that John Paxson, who had been in Karnatsovas' position, will stay with the team in a new role of senior advisor of basketball operations. So he'll still be a face for the team, but we have no idea what that means moving forward. And lastly, in the headlines that are out there right now, Kyle Larson suspended indefinitely by NASCAR on Monday for using a racial slur on a live stream during a virtual race. So at this point, Ganassi Racing also suspended Larson without pay. The star driver said, quote, there was no excuse for his comment, apologized in a video posted on his social media accounts. Here's his quote. I made a mistake and said the word that should never, ever be said. There is no excuse for that. I wasn't raised that way. It's just an awful thing to say. I feel very sorry for my family, my friends, my partners, the NASCAR community, and especially the African-American community. I understand the damage is probably unrepairable, and I own up to that. But I just want to let you all know how sorry I am, and I hope everybody is staying safe during these crazy times. So at this point, he has been suspended indefinitely and without pay, and frankly, rightfully so. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, having a little fun. We've been talking a lot about Dak Prescott today and the fact that he had an ill-advised quarantine party of some sort. There are conflicting reports on whether or not that party violated the rules within the state of Texas. Whether there were 10 people there, whether there were 30 people there, whether there was social distancing or not. We don't really know the full scope of it. It's a very serious conversation to be had, but we're also having a little fun with it. So I'm asking you, if you guys could go hang out with any NFL player during quarantine, who would it be? Whose party you want to go to? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we're opening up. You can give your take on anything you want. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we present you some of First Take, you can then give your take on it as it goes. At Jason Fitz, you can also tweet me. Now, let's get into a little bit of a QB continued conversation. If you listen to the show for the last couple of weeks, every day they take a look at a different quarterback situation, and then they debate that quarterback situation and the team situation. One of the more interesting ones to me is Dwayne Haskins and the Washington Redskins. So there's a real question about who Dwayne Haskins is, whether or not the organization believes in him. So many topics here, but Max and Stephen A. started off by having a debate on which quarterback will have the better year this year, Dwayne Haskins or Daniel Jones.
Now I believe Jones is better than Haskins. Look, both guys are going to be playing in new offensive systems, new head coaches this upcoming season. No one's doing them any favors there. But from what I have seen so far, the really Jones's only drawback as a young quarterback, obviously he'll get better at various things, reading defenses and all that, but the glaring weakness is the turnovers, but the turnovers as fumbles. Like, you gotta hold on to the ball, and while that's a correctable mistake, not everyone who's ever had a fumbling problem has gotten over that, so I'm a little concerned. But assuming he does get over the fumbling problem, I think Jones is just better. He can make those kind of, what do you call them, Dan, off-platform throws better, right? He's more mobile, sure. Although Haskins was more mobile than advertised, for sure, as a pro. Jones seems to have better improvisational ability. I just think he's a higher-end talent, it seems to me. There are more things he can do. And as a rookie, you know, on a dysfunctional kind of team, 24 touchdowns against 12 interceptions. Not only that, a lot of touchdowns for a young player who didn't play a full season. It's a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. Haskins, I know it's not an apples to apples comparison, smaller sample size. 1-to-1 touchdown to interception, you know, ratio. So when the other guy, Jones, is also the more mobile guy, also the eye test tells you is better, I think that that's the guy you go with, and I'm going with him.
Well, you can go ahead and do that. I will concede that to watching Daniel Jones, I was impressed with him, more impressed with him than I thought I'd be. So I will give him credit for that. I do think that there's an upside to him and that Giant fans should be a bit excited because I think he was a better option at this stage of his career than Eli Manning was last year, no doubt about it, which is why Eli Manning retired. But I'm not giving up on Dwayne Haskins. And here's the reason why, guys. Last time I checked Dan Orlovsky and Max Kellerman, coaching mattered. And Dwayne Haskins was playing for a coach who never wanted him in Jay Gruden. And I think it showed with Jay Gruden's coaching of him, how he was brought along and whatever. And I think that definitely derailed him and slowed the process of his development, which is why it's a good thing that Jay Gruden is gone. Think about, and Daniel Snyder is obviously sick to his stomach over this. Sean McVay was on his staff. Matt LaFleur was on his staff. But somehow, some way, Jay Gruden was your head coach, the one that you held on to and wouldn't get rid of and let those guys walk out the door and become more successful as head coaches than Jay Gruden ever had an opportunity to be. I think that Haskins' development was stalled because of that. And I think that we'll see better from him now that Ron Rivera is there. Last time I checked, Ron Rivera is a pretty damn good coach. You said that, Max. You said that, Orlovsky. You said it on numerous occasions. Ron Rivera can coach. He's a leader. He develops and cultivates good relationships with his players, particularly his quarterback. We know what Cam Newton was under him as well. You take all of those things into consideration. I think that compared that to Joe Judge, we don't know much about Joe Judge. Joe Judge was a positional coach, and I'm not rooting against him. I wish Joe Judge nothing but the best. But the reality of the situation is that there were a plethora of coaches out there in terms of resume that definitely deserved the opportunity to be the next head coach of the New York Giants rather than him. When Ron Rivera got the Redskins job, there's nobody that questioned that. Nobody questioned his credentials and what he brings to the table. So I think Haskins is in a better situation now than Daniel Jones may be. And as a result, I think that might equal the playing field a little bit. And then we'll find out what these guys are. I'm not giving up on Haskins yet. I'm going to still say Haskins.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. It's tough to know how Haskins will perform this year because, frankly, it's a new staff. And we don't know what the limitations are going to be throughout the course of the summer on their ability to work with him and to work towards an offense. So it's difficult for me right now to know exactly what to expect from Dwayne Haskins. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That wasn't the only Redskins conversation as part of QB continued. Landon Collins, remember, used to play for the Giants, now plays for the Redskins. He came on today, talked a little bit about what it would be like to play play in front of no fans, the likelihood of an NFL season. Plus, He flat out answered whether or not he would like to have Tua on the Redskins. Check it out.
We talked about it. We have like NFLPA meetings about it. We have sit downs as in groups. It's going to be crazy not having fans in the stadium at a certain point. But, like we said, man, it's a business. We gotta entertain. It's an entertainment business. We gotta entertain everybody. You know, we do this for the love of the game. I mean, if there was no fans in the stands and I was playing against somebody, I'm always trying to be the best. You know, that's like going to a combine when you're going to Under Armour camps, when you're going to Nike Pro Bowl camps and stuff like that. You're doing Adidas camps. You don't really have many fans out there that's full packed stadiums. You're really competing against the guy right now. That's how I kind of look at it. And, most of the guys do. And then, and at the same point, going into how we going into this offseason and not really being there, not me being able to learn what we have to learn. Most teams don't have the advantage on teams that have the same coaches and stuff like that. So we have to step it up from that point. That's going to be a big step up from how we going to do things and try to figure that part out. I think that'd be the hardest part.
Yeah, we're all trying to adapt over here. Landon, obviously before the season, we have the draft, and one of the biggest names, I know you went to Alabama too, is Tua, and the Washington has the second pick. What do you think about the prospect of, your team potentially taking Tua with the number two overall pick? Would that benefit your team?
I love Tua. Kind of love the Alabama guys. Definitely would be a very great aspect to our team. But like I said, man, we drafted a first round draft pick quarterback last year. I think Tua would be a great aspect to our team. But we already have one. I think we should already keep the guy we have now, put our eggs in that basket, because I mean, when he's prepared and he knows what he has to do on the field, he's gunslinging it, he's pushing the ball downfield, he's making plays. From that standpoint, that's how I see it.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. That's Landon Collins, Max, Stephen A., all talking about the Redskins specifically, and QB Continued, the series we like to do every day where we take a look, different look at a quarterback and a team. But we, on this show, like to move that a step further with an expert. So ESPN Redskins reporter John Keim joins us now. John, thanks for the time. Hope you guys are staying safe and everybody's well where you are. When you look at Dwayne Haskins, this one's tough for me to figure out. New coaching staff. What level of expectation do you have for Dwayne Haskins with the Redskins going into this season?
Jason, you know, you're starting off with a tough one because it's hard to know really where he's at. And when he ended up last season, he ended up strong. Last two games, did a lot better. Coaches and people in the building, teammates, felt like he was putting even more into his job and that he was seeing the benefits on Sundays. So that's the last we've seen of him. Now, in the off season, I've heard that he's doing, you know, he's working out two or three times a day. At least he was before the shutdown. I don't know how much it is now, but I know he was looking to do a lot of things, a lot of work on footwork, getting in shape, going over film of Carolina's offense to help acclimate him to what Scott Turner's going to run in Washington. The problem is we're not going to see him maybe until August to know where is he really at, to know what the level of expectation, because usually you can see guys work out kinks in the spring. So my expectation is that I think we're going to see a better quarterback, but we don't know where he's going to be at in this system. And I think that's the big key. And we won't know that. And even then, we may not know how much it is. So that's why they went out and got a Kyle Allen, just in case Dwayne Haskins isn't ready. But my expectation would be better in a lot of areas, but we don't know about this offense because there's too many unknown factors.
We're talking to ESPN Redskins reporter John Keim. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. So does Tua Tagovailoa sort of factor into any conversation for the Redskins at this point?
You know, I guess on the fringe, yeah, but not really. By all accounts, it seems like they are committed to seeing where they can go with Dwayne Haskins and seeing how they can help develop him over the next year or so. And then, of course, you enter into the Chase Young discussion, in which always seems to be the guy and has been the guy that I felt they would take from the, you know, from January on. So I think where Tua enters into, they have talked to him. They would have had him on a top 30 visit had this not all occurred. And part of that is for a couple of reasons. One, because I think when you're coming off a 3-13 year, you're a new staff, you don't have any ties to this previous quarterback, you have to exhaust everything. So you're going to look at everything. And they haven't won a playoff game since 2005. So they owe it to themselves, the fan base, et cetera. But when you listen to them, and Ron Rivera last week told us in a conference call that if you're going to pass on a guy who could be a 10-year player for you, and certainly at the level of a Chase Young, and he didn't say that, but you know that's the implication, then you better get somebody who's going to play at a similar level for a similar time. And with Tua, there's so many questions about the durability, not just the hip, but the other injuries. If you're not sure, or if you feel like you have an alternative, then you're probably going to turn in that direction. I think if they desperately needed a quarterback, then I think he'd be a stronger factor here. But I think because there are some other, you know, because they know Chase Young is probably the guy that is the top defensive player in the draft, maybe the top player. So they have a chance at that. So I think they would go there. You have a defensive-minded head coach in Rivera, a strong defensive coordinator in Jack Del Rio. They've had Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Julius Peppers. So I think that's why. And I know the question's about Tua, but I veer that way, and it's all those reasons. So I veer away from him for those reasons. And they have been telling. I know that you talk to people around the league too. The feeling that they've gotten is that they want to see where they can go with Dwayne Haskins.
We're talking to ESPN Redskins reporter John Kimes. So then let's take it, and we'll put Chase Young on this team with the great defensive minds you just mentioned. Where does that put the Redskins sort of next year in your mind within their division?
Still probably in that fighting for third with the Giants, because it's hard to know when you – they have a chance to be a pretty good defense next year. If you put Chase Young out there, the changes that they're going to make within the scheme, and just having maybe one of the big problems is communication in the secondary, and Jack Del Rio is well aware of that. Certainly sounds like they have some plans to help alleviate that. So I think that would help as well, get a better pass rush. You can have a really good defense possibly. The questions, though, still, and this is where you can't elevate them beyond a Dallas or a Philly, is because on offense there's so many question marks. You know, where will Dwayne Haskins be? What kind of an offseason will there be for him to really learn and acclimate into this offense? Who's going to make plays at receiver besides Terry McLaurin? They don't really have a proven tight end pass catcher who's healthy and for 16 games. They don't have that. There are questions at running back. You have talent with Darius Geis, Bryce Love, Adrian Peterson, signed Peyton Barber, J.D. McKissic. But Geis and Love are both coming off knee injuries. Geis has had a few in the NFL. So there's a temptation, or there's some tempting talent, but there's just way too many question marks right now with them. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Trent Williams. So I think that's what right now holds them back. I think the big thing that will be different, though, having said all that, is that I think with Rivera coming in and the changes that he can make within the building, and there's just a different feeling out there, that how much will that impact on the field? And I think that's a big question. It's hard to answer that one right now. We can look at the talent and judge that, but that's more of an intangible that we'll see more so during the season.
You guys can follow him on Twitter @John_Kime. John, thanks so much for your time and insight, my friend. We appreciate you joining us. Stay safe.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're having a little fun with you. I understand it's, having a quarantine party is never a smart idea, but we're at least laughing about it. So if Dak Prescott can have a quarantine party over the weekend and we can yell at him for him, I'm asking you guys to chime in on what NFL player you would want to be invited to the quarantine party with, or what anybody really from the league. RJ in Lancaster, what's your take?
Jason, how you doing? Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, I said Jeffrey Lurie for the Philadelphia Eagles, and here's why. Because he's the owner, so I feel like if I want to meet the rest of the team, if I want to meet the water boy, any of the staff members, anybody I want to, I'm sure that he could probably get them to come to his party because he's the owner. On top of that, I feel like we could also do, like, call other owners, like, you know, Jerry Jones, and do phone pranks and stuff like that, and just give a lot of hard times to other teams, because Jeffrey Lurie really knows his fan base. He knows we're silly. He knows we don't really take a lot of flack from anybody else. And I feel like that party would really feel like a Wayne Manor. You know, he probably got the real Alfred at his house. He always got like a cool cut, like, you know, his barber lives in Gotham City or something. So I would probably like try to party with the owner of the Eagles.
RJ, that is a great take on it. Thanks for the call, man. A couple of things I really like about it. You're right. It's going to be a sweet, sweet party house, right? It's easy to distance there because you know it's going to be a sweet, sweet party house. I love the thought of just like actually prank calling other owners in the middle of the night, which is great. Plus, since you are in a quarantine party, it's a very limited number of people. You'll actually have the chance to really become friends with Jeffrey Lurie. And then through the process of that, now you're going to get free tickets and invites to games in the future. Like, you're playing chess while I'm playing, like, I'm playing checkers over here. You're much smarter, RJ. That was well played by you as you figured out. Bill and Watkins Glen, who would you want to be hanging out with?
Okay, it's got to be Jim Kelly.
Wow, tell me why.
That's got to be Jim Kelly. And, we got to have Thurman Thomas. We got to have Bruce Smith. And, you know, my parents. But that would be
I like the fact that you brought a bunch of old legends. And thanks for the take on it. I love the fact that you, like, brought a bunch of old legends into the – like, you're not just – banking on Jim Kelly, you're banking on the entire team being there. That's not a bad hang there. I like that one. Kevin came in and said probably would want to hang out with Bernie Kosar. I mean, that's just That's interesting. That's an interesting choice there. Mars says the Boz, like back in the day, I'm all in for that. Smith Squad went for Juju, said at Team Juju should be the best after party. Dude is the truth. David said Tom Brady because he's the greatest quarterback ever. That's fine, too. And Tucker said, I want to go to Bruce Pearl's backyard barbecue because I know he'll lie and say he didn't have it. Oh, that is a dig on recruiting to Bruce Pearl. A little bit of a dig there for your college sports fans. So keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your take. You guys can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Plus, we get the first episode of The Last Dance this weekend. Finally, that's right. You just set your calendars. We all get the first episodes of The Last Dance. They come this weekend. So who had a better dynasty? Was it MJ or Brady? You'll hear what they thought on First Take next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can get your take in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get your take in. We'll take one real quick here. Robert in Iowa, you want to get your take in on Tua. Robert, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, I would like, I'm going to invite, I would like to be invited to the party because I think it's kind of cool.
Oh, well, absolutely. Going to Tua's party would be cool. And going, if we're going to be at a quarantine party, let it be a draft party. I mean, Tua's draft party is going to be, I'm sure, something that unfortunately many of his friends and family won't get to be there after all the years of working so hard for this moment. But you got to feel like going to that draft party would be incredibly fun, and just hanging out with him would be a blast too. Thanks for your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking some of your take on who you'd want to be quarantine partying with, within reason, in ways it's still social distance and using full responsibility, all of those other things. Don't forget, tune into The Last Dance. It's finally here. A behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bull dynasty. The 10-part series begins Sunday, April 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And you can listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. It's going to be an incredible moment for people to be reminded of the greatness of Jordan, to make Jordan more than just a crying meme or the ceiling is the roof sort of laughing matter for people that may not have remembered his play. It's also an opportunity to see behind the scenes. You're going to get generations of NBA fans that together will come out of it with a greater appreciation of Michael Jordan in so many ways. But it did lead to a conversation today on First Take as Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. to debate who had the better legacy. Is it Brady from the Patriots or is it Jordan with the Bulls?
Last time I checked, the New England Patriots went from 2004 to 2014 without winning a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, that's a 10-year gap with a dynasty, with a championship. That ain't no damn dynasty in my estimation, at least in comparison to what I'm about to bring up with Michael Jordan. Not only did Michael Jordan win three straight, but then he retired, came back, and won three straight. When he came back the first season, was only with 17 games left in 1995, if I remember correctly. They lose in the postseason to Orlando with Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott, 3D, and of course Shaquille O'Neal, that kind of stuff right there. But then they came back, got Rodman, annihilated them the next time they met in the postseason, won three straight. A legitimate argument could be made. That was the prime of Michael Jordan's career. A legitimate argument could be made that had Michael Jordan, who remember, suffered the passing of his father after that three-peat, if Michael Jordan had never retired, Michael Jordan could have won eight straight. Are we going to definitively say that the Houston Rockets, who had won back-to-back titles in Michael Jordan's absence, that the Houston Rockets beating Orlando, sweeping them, by the way, and beating the New York Knicks in seven games when John Starks shot 2-for-18 from the field, 1-for-11 from three-point range, and the great Pat Riley, who I love dearly, decided not to play Rolando Blackman and kept John Starks in the damn game seven? Are we going to sit up here and say that Jordan and Pippen and those Bulls could not have beaten the Houston Rockets? I say they would have. They could have won eight straight. if Jordan had not retired. So I'm looking at the Jordan dynasty as being greater than the New England Patriots dynasty. Max, you can nod your head all you want to, but it ain't your time to speak. It's Swagoo's turn.
I'm glad it ain't Max's time to speak because I don't need Max to speak to agree with Max. You are out of your mind, Stephen A. Smith, if you think a basketball dynasty is better than going to 9 Super Bowls in 20 years and winning 6 of them in the NFL. We've lamented at the fact that you can buy championships in the NBA. Did we not know the Golden State Warriors was going to win a championship when Kevin Durant signed? Didn't Bill Russell
That's
win
not applicable
10 of them?
To the
Didn't when the Lakers
to the Bulls?
When the Lakers put their team together, did we not know when they got Shaq that they would win a championship? Did we not know that the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade, when they signed Shaquille O'Neal, would probably win the NBA championship? There is no way in the world you can compare 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 wins in 20 years to any dynasty
That's
in the
football
NBA.
Bias.
When we know damn well in the NBA, you can buy championships. In the NFL, you cannot.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And that's just straight truth being preached by Marcus Spears. I'm not taking anything away from what Michael Jordan did in winning 3 in a row twice. But the concept that he could have won 8 in a row, sure, maybe he didn't. So all we can look at is what we have from the dynasty. Now, then you got to look forward and say, okay, how often do we see teams go to 3 straight finals? Just 3 straight finals. When's the last time you saw the level of dominance that we've seen from Tom Brady and the Patriots? When's the last time you've seen that in the NFL? The fact is, you see teams cycle through dominant chapters in the NBA all the time. It's just part of what the NBA culture is, right? There are teams that are going to win 3 in a row, or at least go to 3 in a row, and you're going to see it. You don't see it to the same level in the NFL. And that's why when we sit back and look at Dynasty, at some point, what's going to happen? And it won't happen for a long time. Is everybody will take their sort of boredom with the Patriots, and that boredom will fade. And at some point, you'll be telling your great-grandkids about the era you saw of Brady and Belichick and what it meant. Yes, that's what many people do with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. But ask yourself this. When you're telling those stories to your great-grandkids at some point, will there have been more three-peats in the NBA? Will there have been more dynastic teams in the NBA? If history is any indication, the answer to that is quite simply yes. And it's alarmingly a loud yes. When you're sitting down with the great-grandkids in generations and you're asking them or you're telling them about the Tom Brady Belichick years, will there be other examples of that level of Super Bowl dominance? I don't believe so. I think what we've seen is this magical moment in time of dominance, not just for the Patriots, but also just a level of incompetence by many of the other teams in their division that has allowed them to simply soar to heights that we've never imagined before. Will we see that again? I don't think so. And even if we do, we won't see it with the regularity that we've seen dominance in the NBA. That is why if we're looking at which of them has a better legacy, which legacy will move forward farther, which one was more dominant, the question is, as surprising as it might seem, has a simple answer. And that answer, love him or hate him, is Tom Brady. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We're asking you guys to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dax out there throwing a quarantine party. He shouldn't. Well, if you could get invited to one quarantine party with one NFL player that you shouldn't go to, who would it be? You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in South Carolina, what's your take on it?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Who would you want to be invited to the party with?
Jason, man, no question. Terrell Owens.
I think did we lose him?
No,
he's going T.O. We got you now. T.O. Okay, you're going T.O.?
T.O. And simply put, one, he told you to get your popcorn ready, so we'd already have refreshments taken care of. And secondly, he probably had the best performance in a Super Bowl by an injured player when they played the Patriots because T.O. didn't choke in that game. McNabb did. And lastly, Randy Moss, who got in first ballot, who I'm a huge fan of as well, stated he does take plays off. T.O. never said that. And so I would ask him about how he feels about being snubbed on his nomination to the Hall of Fame.
Now, see, that's an interesting angle on it, too, because thanks for the call, man. Thanks for your take on it. When you start talking about looking at who you'd want to hang out with in the moment, man, You know, you got to ask yourself what you're going to talk about. You get past like the third plate of finger foods. What are you guys talking about? So being able to get some of the hot takes that you know you would get from T.O., he'd be real. He'd be open with you. You'd walk out with something easy. I've had several tweets that have supported Larry Fitzgerald as the answer to this, which is interesting to me. And even Mifflin said, Larry Fitzgerald seems to be a very interesting person to just chop it up with, get his insights, share his experience. This is one of multiple Larry Fitzgerald tweets that I've had, which is just sort of surprising to me. I don't think of that very much. Sasha came in and said, Andy Reid, hands down, guaranteed he'll have that best spread. I think that's why Andy Reid still stood out to so many people that were when we asked what coach you'd want to be in the room with during the NFL draft. Like, I just want to see what Andy Reid's spread looks like for his, you know, for his party. That's all I'm asking for. That's part of what we'll take a look at there. Probably Aaron Rodgers is the answer of Adam. Doesn't seem to enjoy mind-numbing chit-chat. We could sit in silence and wait this entire fiasco out. I love that. You want somebody that you can quarantine with in perfect, total, complete silence. Jeff in Manhattan, you want to get your take in. What's your take?
MJ, hands down. I'll tell you, there's a bunch of reasons. You don't have enough time for me to list them all. Basically, I'm 67. I've seen everybody. I've seen Will, Bill Russell, everybody. Of course, Bill Russell when I was a little kid. And the thing with Tom Brady is not only he had the best coach on earth that gets a guy open on every play, he gave him a great defense, great offensive line. There's games when Brady was just averaging the Super Bowls. Vinatieri kicked a field goal to win it. Yeah, he has come through brilliantly at times. He stayed healthy because he's never got hurt. He's never run. He's never gone down. MJ, hands down, the greatest athlete of all time. This guy doesn't need a coach. He wouldn't need a coach. 3 years in a row, 2 years off. Three in a row. It's like not even close between these two guys. I mean, it's a dynasty year with the Patriots. It's kind of like the Spurs. They won it over a long period of time. They didn't win three in a row, four in a row. If Brady's that great, I should have won four in a row. I know it sounds silly, but they had a magic carpet ride to the Super Bowl every year. And like you said, 10 years without, like Stephen A. Smith, 10 years without one, what happened? And when he had a different quarterback, a Matt Castle, the other two guys, they're winning anyway. So to me, it's not even close.
Now, and I love the debate. Look, you've made some really strong points about personal performance and how that plays into the dynasty. It's a fair point, but and thanks for your take on it. But I would still counter that, you know, as you mentioned, you've been watching basketball since the Bill Russell days. How many dynasties have you seen in the NBA? It just feels like it's so frequent that we see somebody win several championships in a row. So the fact that we're asking why Brady didn't win four straight, well, I mean, when do we ever see a quarterback win four straight Super Bowls? It's alarming to think of what that expectation would be. And above and beyond that, you're right. Some of those personal performances weren't great. But what about a Super Bowl where he throws for over 500 yards and loses? So, you know, it's that's the difficulty on it. I think what's tougher to replicate is what Brady did, because in generations we won't have seen it again. You guys are stacked and fired up. So we'll take some of your take on MJ or Brady. Who's had the bigger debate? I know you guys want to get in. We'll let you do that. Plus, the NBA has a new plan to get the season underway. You'll hear about the interesting timing of it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of the show today, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. So we'll get to a little bit of schedule conversation here, as there's some interesting ideas coming in for the NBA and Major League Baseball on how they may return. Quickly, though, I want to get a couple of your takes in. John in Florida, you wanted to chime in on MJ or Brady in the legacy conversation. Who you got, John?
Oh, there's no comparison. And you're forgetting the Bulls dwarf New England. And you're forgetting the Boston Haters dynasty. 83 years without a champion in baseball and football combined, 1918-2001, ending on a tuck rule. Then you have Spygate in 2003 and 2004, where they took illegal film of the Colts before playoff games. Ask Jerome Bettis, were the 2001, 2003, and 2004 Patriots legitimate or cheaters? And then you ask anybody in the NBA, were the Bulls cheaters? They were legitimate. They're not the Yankees or the Canadians, but they were clearly the best dynasty outside of maybe the Mariano Rivera Yankees in the last 40 years. And to have New England, which never won, a true dynasty is four straight titles, 5 out of 9, 6 out of 10. New England never even won 3 in a row.
Wait, where are you coming with that metric? Four straight titles, 5 in a row? Like, so when has that ever been done in the NFL?
Nobody.
When have your dynasty metrics ever been met in the NFL?
Lombardi's Packers are the only true dynasty. They won five in a 9-year and a 7-year time frame. That is the closest thing to a dynasty. But they, a dynasty, I was reading a book. You win 3 in a row, it's great. 4 in a row is, or more is a dynasty, or 5 out of 9, 6 out of 10. And nobody in the NFL has come close to that. I mean, nobody's even three-peated in the Super Bowl era, much less four-peat. And yet the Bulls, as the guy said, they would have won probably 8 straight. I know it's easier to win in basketball than baseball or football or hockey. I will agree. But the Bulls did not cheat, and they did not, you know, New England. And you look at how New England's won 3 in 15 years, Jason. 3 in 15 years, the last 15 years. And it's almost, it's if it's choreographed. You look at Seattle with the guy, Pete Carroll, not running the ball at the 1-yard line. Ditto for Atlanta. Everybody knows from Little League football, you got a play that works, you continue it. And why Seattle didn't run the ball.
I mean, but this is a level of conspiracy theory. Thanks for your take on it. But like, if you're going to throw in like some conspiracy theory that the NFL is trying to choreograph the Patriots to Super Bowls, by the way, I mean, they've won 6 Super Bowls. I mean, at this point, what else do you want from them? They've won 6 Super Bowls, 1917, 15, 05, 04, and 02. So, you know, I'm all in for having debate about what a dynasty is, but it's convenient to say, well, a dynasty is either 4 straight or 5-7 or 6 in 10 years. Like, I don't know where you read that, but I'm not sure who decided that they get to wear the dynasty hat to decide what a dynasty actually is in that moment. And frankly, the Bulls didn't accomplish 4 straight. So it's like you had to wiggle until you got to one that worked for the Bulls. So, oh, well, 6-10, no worries. Now they're a dynasty. I mean, all of this to say that through all of it, again, how many times have we seen that replicated in the NBA? You've never seen what Tom Brady's accomplished in the NFL. That has to mean something to his dynasty. Travis in Illinois. I know I'm just blowing up the end of the show here. Travis in Illinois, you want in on this. What's your thought on MJ or Brady?
Yeah, what's up, Fitz? How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm great. Thanks for calling.
That last caller, yeah, that conspiracy thing was nuts. But the caller before that, I wanted to talk about, it pains me to say the Patriots. It really does. It really pains me to say it. But for the guy to say that Brady had Belichick, he had the coach, Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson. He never won before Phil. Phil's the greatest, I mean, in my opinion, right up there is Red Auerbach, but the greatest head coach of all time. And then the guy saying that he had Vinatieri kick a couple in for him. Do we forget about John Paxson and Steve Kerr? Michael Jordan has 2 less rings without those 2 guys. So that argument's null and void to me.
Well, and also to add on to it, thanks for your take on it. Let's not sit here and pretend like Michael Jordan didn't have a top 100 all-time NBA player according to the NBA's own top 100 all-time rankings in Scottie Pippen playing next to him. And at one point had Dennis Rodman or Horace Grant, take your pick on that third player, Tony Kukoc, that were all very good players. Look, I'm not trying to say either of these dynasties don't deserve respect, but to me, Brady, much better.